Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. Margaret Cross Menzies, otherwise known as Meg, age 34, of Hanover County, Virginia, ran home to Jesus on January 13, 2014. She is survived by her husband, Scott Menzies, two sons, Gabriel and Whitfield, daughter Skye, her parents, Wirt and Pam Cross, mother and father-in-law, Kirk and Gail Menzies, two brothers, Wirt and Howard Cross. Meg was a devoted Christian and loved to run. Meg was a loving daughter, wife, and mother, and a friend to all. We'll miss you, Meg. And by now, if you are on any type of social media or anything like that, having anything to do with the running, surely you've heard of Meg's death that took place this past Monday. And this happened really close to home to me because I knew her. I know her husband very well, and it happened in where I work and where I live. And it's just a tragic, tragic loss for our community. I went to her funeral yesterday, and well over 1,000 people there. It was a beautiful service, very sad and somber, obviously. There were some laughs here and there as some of the people gave eulogies, but just a real, real tragic thing. Scott and Meg had three small children, and really the tough roads are ahead. Anyway, I'm not going to talk too much about it. It's enough's been said, I guess, over the course of the week, other than just to continue to pray for the family. At the end of the show, I am going to list, and I'll put it on the website, too, where you can make any donations to her memorial fund if you would like. There's also a link to purchase shirts to help raise money for the family. Sometimes that's how people like to reach out. Certainly, you know, you can go out there and find it yourself on Facebook, but I'll put a link on in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. You know, Meg was a Boston marathoner already. She was training for another Boston, and you might say, well, you know, how did this awful thing happen? Well, she was hit at about eight in the morning by a drunk driver who, you know, what irony it is that the person that hit her, Michael Carlson, who's a doctor here in Ashland, in the town, he had actually lost his wife to a drunk driver in New York State. I think it was in 2004, and he's got three kids. And here it appears that he was on his way to work, and he's a .11, apparently, which is over the legal limit in Virginia and most other states. And apparently Scott was out running with his wife, and the car came around a curve and ran off the road where they were, running on the side of the road. Scott was able to get out of the way. I guess he was some distance in front of his wife, and she could not get out of the way, and so she suffered massive trauma at the scene and then died later at the hospital with Scott by her side. Just a tragic, tragic story, and it just breaks my heart to think of what Scott's going through and the rest of his family, and certainly his kids, who will understand more and more as they get older because they're small. So it's very sad. And so today, you know, I did the Meg's Miles. I ran with two different groups this morning. I ran with the Ashland Police at 8 o'clock, and then I ran with Hanover Sheriff's deputies at 9. And then we went over to Randolph-Macon College where there was another event taking place. So, Scott was at the run this morning at 8. At the police department, and I think he had actually already been out running this morning because that's what he and his wife did in the mornings. So he was out running with his wife in spirit, and it was just a little more lighthearted today than yesterday at the funeral home, but that's just because I think he was holding it together for everybody. So anyway, the best way to help is just to pray for him and his family, and then if you feel so inclined to make a donation to her memorial fund, which obviously would help the kids as they get older for different expenses, and I'll put all that in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. So we'll talk about a couple other things in this podcast. I know I'm a little overdue with getting a show out. Just been really busy. I'm going to stretch back a little bit to Christmas Eve, and before I get into that, let me just mention a couple people that I got emails from that obviously listened to the show and put it together that this tragedy happened in the community where I live. Phil, Min, Shelley Latcha, and Richard Yarp, I really do appreciate the emails, and I passed on to the people I know that can get, that are closer to Scott, that there are people that all over the world that are reaching out, and people that don't know him just feel the tragedy in their heart. So those emails are very much appreciated, and I passed that on as best I could. So I appreciate y'all taking the time to do that. So let's go back to Christmas Eve. We had our Christmas Eve Jingle Bell, Frozen Toes and Noses Jingle Bell run. 30-plus runners. That was pretty good for a thing we just put together. It was a lot of fun. It was cold. Then we went over to the Caboose Wine and Cheese Shop for coffee at Bart's coffee stand in there, which is always a fun time. It's actually kind of started a Saturday tradition. Me and Brian Klein, who I mentioned from time to time, we've been running together for the last few weeks. He's got his comeback run coming in on February 15th, which I'll talk about here in a minute. We've been going over there pretty much every Saturday, kind of making it a tradition now. And I was over there this morning, and it's pretty cool. If you're ever in the center of the universe in Ashland, Virginia, make sure you stop by the Caboose, which is right there on the railroad tracks in the downtown area, which is really just a block long, and go in and tell Bart that you know Ashland Dave, and he'll know exactly who you're talking about. At least I hope he will. So we had a good turnout for that. I'd like to thank my wife, Monica, for putting that together. That's something that she's been putting together over the last several years, the Christmas Eve run. And the great thing about that is it brings people out that normally don't really run in the same groups. And I'm all about, combining friends groups. I like doing that, and that's what these group runs do, the large group runs. On January 4th, I did my first 20-miler that I've done in a long time. I think when I ran the Richmond Marathon last year, I never really did a 20-miler. Of course, I paid for that. But I got out and did one on the 4th. And what I did was I got up at 5, started my run really early. No, I got up before 5 because I started running at 5 in the morning because I know Brian was going to join me at 7. And then I wanted to be able to finish the mileage with him. And so we did a 10 miles. So what I did is I did 10 miles before I met up with Brian at 7 and then did the final 10 with him. And then even, believe it or not, Ashland Tom showed up at 8 o'clock. So we had a little group, and I heard later from Brian, he was looking at the time. Our last 5 was quicker than the first 5, which means the last 5 of my 20 was faster than any of the other miles that I ran for that 20 miler. And I was really exhausted that day. But it was good to get Brian out there. It's his first double digit run in several years. It's kind of hard to believe that Brian was actually my first 10K running team coach. And then he's stepped away from the sport for a little while, and now he's making his comeback. And his comeback race is the Dahlgren Heritage Trail Half Marathon, which is February 15th. So he did his first double-digit run in many years back on January 4th. And I think he's just going to throw in another couple, maybe one more double-digit run before the half marathon on February 15th. And I'm really excited about that. We've just decided we're gonna drive up to that together and just run it together. And we'll be able to run into Richard up there, who is on the Friends of the Trail up there. So that's up in King George County, a little over an hour from here, maybe not quite an hour. And we'll have to get up pretty early to get up for that race. It's the same course where I ran a 50K over the summer. Obviously, just doesn't go out as far. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's going to be a full, it's kind of like a double shot weekend. Had a real disappointing email, but I'd already known ahead of time. The Charlotte Ultra 50K, which was scheduled for February 1st, has been canceled. Huge, huge disappointment. Very disappointed about that. Just realized that I'm not going up to see Richard at the Dahlgren half marathon up there. It's Neil Richard. He's the one that's got the TK421. Blog where he's got a most unique podcast you'll find. Anyway, Sorry, Richard, Neil, didn't mean to get your name wrong there. But yeah, huge disappointment with the cancellation of the Charlotte Ultra. This is the race I've done the last 2 years. I was kind of hoping this would be a race that I would, you know, have a tradition that I do every year because I have a friend that lives down in Charlotte, and it was allows me to go down and visit. I will admit, though, it's always on Super Bowl weekend, and it was a little bit brutal driving back Super Bowl Sunday in the morning, and you know, after running a 50K the day before, and you know, getting enthusiastic about going to a Super Bowl party. However, so it's canceled this year. The race director cited construction on the course and operational issues. And the way I found out about this, they did send out an email, but I had looked on the website for hotels because I needed to go. All of a sudden, I just remembered I needed to make my hotel reservation. And so I went on the website looking for hotels, and I didn't even see the notice on the website until I was kind of maneuvering around. It was right there on the homepage. I just didn't see it right off, and I read it, and I just was kind of stunned. The organization of the race I thought was outstanding for a new race. It is a 10K course times five. That to me, in some ways, that was the attraction of the race, was the mental challenge of actually doing that course five times with several out and backs. It was really a mental challenge. The weather was good. I mean, it was no traffic. It was on a greenway, on a recreational greenway down there. So, you know, I was real disappointed, and I don't know what the operational issues were. I mean, this was $80. I can understand construction would definitely change the course, if not wipe out some of it, and that's just really disappointing. But the good news is that we got a refund, and I got all my money back, although I really wanted to run it. So now I'm signed up for the George Washington Birthday Marathon in Greenbelt, Maryland, which is February 16th. So that's the double shot weekend. I got the half marathon on Saturday and then a full marathon on Sunday, which I guess is the same thing they do down in Disney for the Goofy Challenge, if I'm not mistaken. So, I've already taken off that Monday from work. I know it's going to be a brutal weekend. However, I think I can do it. Brian and I our plan is to run together on Saturday, you know, nice, easy pace like we've been doing in training, kind of a modified run walk if necessary, and then I'll just do the marathon at my own pace. Now, the good thing about that marathon is that my good friend Lummox, who I was going to do the 50K with down in Charlotte, is also signed up for the Greenbelt George Washington's birthday marathon. So we'll go to that one instead, and he lives in Annapolis, so I don't think that's really that far. I do find it interesting that the George Washington birthday marathon is the week before George Washington's birthday, but anyway, they from what I understand, it's a nice race. I was looking online for the course map. It looks like it's two loops or three loops of about 9 mile loop with some stuff shaved off here and there to make it 26.2 miles. And with that being said, that when you have a loop course like that, which I think loop courses are fine, you know where to expect the once you go through the first time, you know where the water stops and aid stations are going to be, and you can look forward to that. So bad news for the cancellation of the Charlotte Ultra. Good news that I found another race that I was able to get into, and very, very excited about that. That's coming up. And what it does, I was able to put off my second 20-miler another week, so I'll have to do that next week. Got new shoes. I've got Hokas now. You know, the real big ones that you see people wearing. What was happening was I had replaced my last pair of Asics with the Asics Nimbush, I think was the model. And I was running on those, and I was just feeling like I was just running really flat. Like the whole impact of running was, with each step, was just going through my body, and it was hurting. And I was, the next day, or even the evening after running, just was not feeling like something, was feeling like something wasn't right. Just everything felt flat and hard, and I just felt like maybe it was time to find some shoes with some more cushion. And at the Christmas Eve run, when we went over to Bart's, I was talking to a fella in there that had them on, You know, I was just asking them about them. I'd seen them before, and I think they look unusually big. The, you know, because the soles are 2.5 times the size of regular running shoes. And I was asking him about them, and he said it's changed his whole way of, you know, running. They're zero drop, so they don't encourage heel strike as much. And so I decided to start doing some work, you know, looking online and reading about them and learning about them. And I decided that even though the price at $150 was more than I am usually willing to spend for running shoes, because all you do is go out there and just beat the hell out of them, you know, with running, I thought, you know, I'm hurting so bad, and I shouldn't be hurting like this. Of you know, even after a 5 miler, I was starting to hurt, and I thought maybe it's just time to switch to a new brand and try something different. So I went ahead and pulled the trigger and got the Hoka Mafates 3, which is for the men's shoe. And yeah, it's unusual looking, no doubt about it. And the first run I did in them was a 5 miler. Then the second run was my 20 miler. And yeah, that's right. If you did hear me right, I almost wore brand new shoes for a 20 miler. And short of just my foot getting used to the shoe with a little bit of rubbing here and there, which is all recovered, you know, I've recovered from all that now. Because whenever you get new shoes, you're going to have a little bit of rubbing here and there. I love them. I really do. And they look weird. I mean, no doubt. It looks like you got some big, you know, big clown shoes on, because they're huge. They're like high-heeled running shoes. Or not high-heeled, but high heel and high toe. but I like the cushion. I mean, I'm 205 pounds, 210 pounds. And I need a lot of cushion. And it's very, I really do like it. I really do. And so I pulled the trigger on that, $150. I'm still trying to figure out where the $750 in tax that I spent, what state got that. I'm not really sure who gets the $750, but hopefully they will last, you know, up to 500 miles before I start feeling any change. And so anyway, if you've ever, if you have those, then you know what I'm talking about. But if you've only seen people wearing them, I'm a convert. I do like those. They actually are labeled as ultra running shoes, and so I'm a convert. I'm definitely liking them so far, and we'll see how they continue to wear. Hopefully, they don't wear out quick, because I really would like to hang on to them. So yeah, we got a couple of things here. I am going to briefly talk about my good friend Rodney, and then we're going to get into Jim Ruddy's Annapolis Half Marathon race report, because I promised that from the last show. And what's likely going to happen is I'll do a part two. We'll see how this works out. I might do a part two with the email bag section of the show, because I got a whole stack of emails. It just kind of depends how far the show goes out here for the first part. But let me talk about Rodney really quick, and then I'm going to get into Jim Ruddy's race report from the Annapolis Half Marathon, which was on November 23rd. Rodney, who you've heard me talk about before, is part of my running group. I'm part of his running group. We've done ultra marathons together, I crewed for him down in Atlanta when he did the 50 miler down there. We ran the Keys ultra marathon together. We ran from Marathon Key to Key West, and we flew down there and traveled with him and his wife. Well, last Sunday night, he had a massive heart attack, and he survived. He's still with us, thank God. However, he had a complete blockage in, I think, one of the arteries, and he's in very serious condition. He's at St. Mary's Hospital in Henrico County, outside of Richmond. And so we've been praying for him, and I went to see him on Monday, and yeah, he's in pretty serious shape. He's in the coronary care unit. It's been there since last Sunday night, early Monday, and we're just hoping that he makes progress. He's still in that same unit. There's no phone in the room. There's no chairs, so they really discourage lengthy visits, because people in that unit really can't really be distracted by too much. He's in pain, and just feel really bad for him. He's 42 years old, so it really makes you look at life in a different perspective. You know, model of fitness from my point of view, And this is a guy that, if you've been a regular listener to the show, ran his first marathon at age 12 or 13 in Arkansas. Just really, really been doing it for a long time. And so what it does, it really makes you think about your own fitness and what are you doing. You know, what are you doing for yourself? And is it really, with the long distance running, is it hurting more or is it helping more? And for him, he obviously just had some health issues that came to light, and thank God he's still with us. And so you've heard me talk about him before, and I'll continue to talk about him again. He's done 100K, he's done a couple 50 milers, several marathons, you know, fast runner, doesn't give up on much, and really takes it hard. And he's in the hospital with a massive heart attack. So that's Rodney for you. And we will continue to talk about him in future shows as he gets better. So let's turn it to a positive thing. From Jim in Western Loudoun County. And let me put you on a stand up and be counted list, because we're still doing that, by the way. If you've and I've got several emails already, Phil, Shelley, Richard, and Jason. I'm going to be doing a special episode, edition of the podcast at episode 200, Stand Up and Be Counted. What that is, if you haven't heard me talk about this before, is all I do is just encourage you to send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com and tell me where you're from and what you do, and how long you've listened to the show, and then I'll do a listener roll call back on episode 200. And when I did this back at episode, I think it was episode 100. Well over 100 people had chimed in. I think it was maybe just under, and it was really cool. And it gives me an idea of who's out there listening. And I don't do anything with your name and email. I don't put it in a database for you to get marketed or anything like that. I'm just kind of curious who listens to the show. And Jim out of Loudoun County, Virginia is one of those. And he's been listening to the show for a long time. And he said he does remember the last time I did the Stand Up and Be Counted. So that would have been probably 100 episodes ago, Jim. And thanks for continuing to listen. And finally, I'm getting to your half marathon report from the Annapolis Half Marathon back in late November. And the reason I think this report is significant also is because a friend of mine, Lummox, who I've talked about also, who I'm doing the marathon with in February, also ran this race. So let's go over the report here. It's pretty cool. Jim writes, I've run this race since its inception, and it's the third annual one was this past November. He says, I've run this race since its inception, and I must say that they have definitely made some strides. To give some background, the first year was riddled with issues. First off, the traffic was horrible, as they had major issues with the parking and getting that organized. We ended up starting the race late, but not too late. And also, they did not have mile markers because the person in charge of putting them out hurt himself. He had broken his foot or ankle and was taken to the hospital with the keys to his truck, which had the mile marker stored in it. And Jim said this made the course short by about a half mile. Anyway, year two saw some improvements in the course layout. It was, in fact, the correct distance. They had an out-and-back section on the B&A trail, and it was very tight. They still had some traffic issues, but it was a little better. And I'll take a little break here. If the B&A Trail is the Baltimore and Annapolis Trail, and there's a marathon. It's a rails to trails. It's a paved path, and there, it might be cinders in some of the areas. I've run that marathon a couple times. I really do like it, and it's right there in the Annapolis area. Okay, as I continue, bring on year three. Traffic was extremely smooth. No real issues there. We were able to drive right in, park very quickly. One big difference this year was that it was cold or very windy, but you cannot put that on the race organizers. Anyway, I went into this race without a well-executed training plan. I'd gotten sick and lost about 3 weeks of training, not to mention that I started feeling some pain and tightness in my left calf. There were thoughts in my head about not running, as I know how hilly Annapolis is, and I did not want to injure myself any further, but I started to rest my legs, ice my calf, use compression and elevate when I could. I was also using the stick to massage both my legs. All the above seemed to help because come race day, my legs felt good. Not great, mind you, but good. Now for the race, I was wearing Zinsa calf sleeves, shorts, t-shirt, arm warmers, and a baseball-style hat. I was a little chilly, but I knew that once I got moving, that I'd be warm enough. It was a bit of a windy day, but the temps were in the 40s, so it wasn't too bad. I went into this race with a mindset that I was not going to race it. I was just going to try and maintain a solid pace. Well, within the first 5 miles, I was between a 9:30 and a 9:50 pace. Then came the trek over the bridge. This is where the course gets hilly. My pace went down to about 10:20 and 10:45 for the rest of the race. They changed the course again for this race. It's hard to explain, but being that Annapolis is not that big of a city, there were a lot of turns, and the course double-backed on itself in a couple of places. This year, they added a 10K, and I think they might have waited a year or two more to do that. All was fine as far as support on the course, except for the last two aid stations. They ran out of water. The half was capped at 4,000 runners, and the 10K was capped at 1,500. Other than them running out of water, I thought that the race went well. I know that I was very pleased with my performance, especially with how my training went the last 3 to 4 weeks leading up to the race. I plan on doing this race again next year. I really enjoy listening to the podcast, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, Jim, thank you. You didn't give me your finishing time, and maybe what I'll do is I'll look that up real quick just so we can get an idea of what your finishing time was. Okay, look that up, and very respectable, 2:15:53. Well done, Jim. Congratulations on your finish. And just on a side note here, I just wanted to mention a little bit about how hilly Annapolis is. I agree with you, Jim. I ran the Annapolis 10-miler there a few years ago, and it really surprised me how hilly Annapolis is for being so close to the water. I like the race a lot. It fills up every year. And you usually get some pretty nice stuff. The last year that I was registered for it and got in, they actually canceled the race, but they gave out, and I ended up getting it, and I wear it, a premium, a little heavier than it's heavier than a long sleeve shirt. It's got a zipper in the front, a little zipper pocket on the front that I can put my iPod in. And I took a magic mark and wrote DNS on it, so you know, did not start. That way, I'm allowed to wear it, because I try to go by the strict T-shirt rules for races. You know, you shouldn't wear the shirt unless you ran it or volunteered. You know, obviously you should never get a medal if you didn't finish the race, and you shouldn't wear something if you didn't start the race or run it, unless you write DNS on it or did not DNF if you did not finish and you want to wear your marathon shirt. You got to use a black magic marker, and you have to write DNF on there so people will see it. But did not start is not so bad if it was canceled. I think if they canceled a race, because this was back when they had the hurricane. Although we did have the Patrick Henry half marathon the day before here with some pretty foul weather, and then they canceled the Annapolis race the next day. But I think it's okay to wear. It's pretty nice piece of clothing. So, Jim, thank you for taking the time to do that report. Very much appreciated. And I got you down for the list of Stand Up and Be Counted. And many thanks all around for taking the time to type that out and share it with everybody. What I'm going to do is I've actually got the email bag section of the show, which I'm going to do in a part two. So stick around. Both of these will be released at the same time, and you can listen to part two for the email bag section of the show. That way, if you lose interest, you can go ahead and cut off the podcast. So this is Ashland Dave, and I am running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids and stand by for episode 190, email bag.